My whole life, I've been really excited to be a mom. Like, I just couldn't wait. I married my high school boyfriend, and he was in law school, which is why we came to Ann Arbor. And the whole time he was in law school, I was like, just let me know. Like, just let me know when you're ready, because I am ready. And we had gone on vacation to Mexico in April 2019. And at that time, agreed that I would go off birth control when we got home. And then he spent the summer in Pittsburgh, so we didn't really see each other because he was doing an internship. And then, I got pregnant in October 2019, and I was just so excited. We chose not to find out the sex before delivery, which I think in part is because I'm a labor and delivery nurse, so I have seen people go either way and always thought it was like a really fun surprise to not know. But yeah, so we were really excited, and the pregnancy was perfect. It was just like the happiest I'd ever been, and I felt great. I had really insane heartburn, but other than that, I felt awesome. I was like really just so excited. And then, March 2020 happened, and everything got a little bit crazy with COVID and the start of the pandemic. So I was working in the hospital that I delivered at as a labor and delivery nurse. So I was very, familiar with our policies and how we were managing COVID and everything. But I just remember it being such a scary and like strange time, because all of a sudden I went from seeing my family a lot to like just going to their house and standing in their garage to talk to them, because I was so terrified that I would have asymptomatic COVID and give it to them. So anyway, basically at that time, there was sort of a recommendation that pregnant women self-isolate beginning around 37 weeks so that you would not have COVID at the time of delivery. I was really nervous that I would, go to 41 weeks and have eaten up 4 weeks of maternity leave being self-isolating. So I spoke with my OB, who I also worked with, and she suggested, if I was comfortable, that we could do COVID testing at 39 weeks, and if I was negative, just proceed with induction. And I, even though I had in some ways really wanted labor to just start on its own, I was also extremely excited to meet my baby, and I was very COVID nervous, and it just seemed like, given everything going on at the time, it was the right move. Also, my baby had been breech until about 35 weeks, so I was happy that he was head down and was like, let's just get this show on the road now that he's in the right position.
Yeah, certainly.
So I went to my 39 week appointment, and they told me I was like 1 centimeter dilated. And then I came back, or I was not quite 39 weeks at the time. I was 38 weeks and 6 days. And then I came back the next in 2 days at 39 and one. And the night before, I'd had, at this point, my family had decided we were comfortable being with each other, so I basically only saw my parents. So I was at my parents' house with my husband the night before my induction, and it was so, I remember taking a shower at their house for some reason. They have a much nicer house than us. So I was taking a shower at their house, and I was like, this is like the last time I'm going to see my moms before I myself am a mom. And it was such a weird and like surreal feeling. And my parents, I have two moms who are a couple, and I'm super close to them, and they are very emotional. So I knew like I couldn't even open up that can of worms, or it'd be like a whole thing. So I remember like hugging them as I was leaving their house and kind of like choking back tears and being like, all right, like I'll see you in a couple days. And they had recently changed the visitor policy at the hospital, so I knew like my parents would be able to see me in the hospital after I delivered. So anyway, so the next day I get home from that dinner, and I'm going to the bathroom, and I had lost my mucus plug, and I was really excited, and I was like, oh my gosh, maybe it'll just start before the induction, like maybe I won't even have to be induced. But
Yeah.
I wasn't uncomfortable or anything, and I kind of knew nothing would happen. So I went to sleep. We got up the next day, my husband and I, and we were like, taking walks and doing all these things. I look back at the end of pregnancy as just the most like surreal but amazing time. It was so, the weather was beautiful. It was like my husband and I felt so close to him because we've just been together. He was at home totally because of COVID. So we were together all the time except for when I was working. And I was just like, that day is one of like my favorite days. So we go to my OB's office, and it was not my, it was like my, the other OB who I tended to see because it's a group practice. And there were two OBs that I saw throughout my pregnancy who I love both of them. So I go in and they, checked my cervix and said I was 1 to 2 centimeters dilated. They stripped my membranes, which they had tried a couple days before, and nothing had happened. And then they placed the Foley balloon. So you had to get, we did monitoring beforehand, like where they put the baby on the monitor and everything looked good. And then they put the Foley balloon in, which is something I had been a part of many times in the hospital, but because this was essentially like an elective induction and there was no medical need for it, I was able to do it out of hospital, like get the Foley balloon and then go home. And I remember right after she put it in, and it was not, I was really worried it'd be like really painful because I've seen people struggle with discomfort in the hospital getting it placed, but thankfully I did not find it too uncomfortable. And then I got a call from our, and it, every time somebody would call me from St. Joe's where I worked, it just came through as St. Joe's number because that's the way they like their system works. It always comes through from the same number. You can't see individually who's calling you. So I had this moment like, was I supposed to be at work? Was I supposed to be working right now? So I answered the phone, and it was our education coordinator who calls all inductions to like check on them and give them some instructions. And I was like, hey, like I'm at the OB, like they just started it. And she was like, that's great. So then we went home, and I immediately started having contractions with the Foley balloon, and I was so excited. I was like, this is gonna work. Like I'm not even gonna need like the whole rigmarole. I was wrong about not needing the whole rigmarole, but I immediately got pretty uncomfortable. We went to Potbelly's and got sandwiches as like our last meal, and we were eating them. And then I started to get like concerned about having enough snacks for labor. So I wanted my husband to go to the grocery store and get like Jell-O and Gatorade and all this stuff. And I didn't end up eating any of it, so it was not necessary. But he left to go get that stuff, and I was getting like increasingly more crampy and uncomfortable, and was like standing in our driveway and having contractions. And he came home and he was kind of freaked out. He was like, oh my gosh, this is happening. Like, should we go to the hospital? And I was like, no. They told me, the Foley balloon can be in for up to 12 hours. So they had put it, I mean, it could be in actually up to 24 hours, but they're anticipating it to be in around 12 hours. So they'd put it in around 3 p.m. and told me, like, they would call me in the morning. But I was super uncomfortable, and I got in the shower and I was having contractions. And I remember we had not told my husband's family the exact date of the induction because I was worried I would feel like a lot of pressure to have the baby quickly. And being a labor and delivery nurse, I know that first-time moms often have long inductions, but my own mother-in-law had had very quick inductions. So I was like, let's not tell them the exact specific day. Like, we'll just say like, oh, hopefully we'll get in this week for the induction. But she ended up calling my husband, whose name is Carrie, calling him to like ask how things were going. And he was like, Claire's in labor. Like we're having, and we were FaceTiming, and they lived in California at the time. So she was like, can I see your belly? And then all of a sudden, I got significantly more comfortable. Like I felt like I was no longer really having contractions, and I went to the bathroom, and the Foley balloon had fallen out, which I knew to be a good sign that like it had done its job, and it had only been in for a couple of hours. So I was like, wow, this is great. Like things are just moving along. But I kind of didn't know what to do at that point because I was like, okay, it's no longer in, but I'm not really supposed to show up to the hospital until tomorrow. So I guess we'll just like hang out and see what happens. So we were hanging out, and then I kind of realized I hadn't been feeling my baby move very much, and I was getting a little nervous. So I was like drinking the Gatorade and laying on my left side and doing all these things and not really feeling him move. And my husband didn't really understand what, like, he was very focused on the labor element. Like, he was like, but like, are you in labor? Like, are you uncomfortable? Should we go to the hospital? And I was like, I'm not like horribly uncomfortable, but I'm worried like the baby isn't moving. So I ended up calling my OB and leaving a message, and then also texting some of my friends at work who were all like, okay, just come to the hospital. And I was like, no, I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to get there too early. I'm not supposed to be there until tomorrow. But I still couldn't get the baby to move. And they were all texting me like, you're being so stupid. Just come in. So I came in, and right as I was walking down the parking lot, my OB called me back and was like, come to the hospital right now if you're not feeling your baby move. And I was like, I'm here. Don't worry. So I came in, and they put me on the monitor, and he didn't look. The tracing, as we call it, did not look amazing, but it wasn't horrible. But it wasn't like perfect. It was kind of flat, not amazing variability. So they had me do some different things, and I had already tried those things at home, like changing positions and drinking juice and stuff. And it was quite busy, so I was sort of worried I was going to be sent home. But my OB came out and was like, "I don't love how your baby looks. I'm not horribly concerned, but I don't think you should go home. I think we should just move along and like get things going." So one of my best friends at work was assigned to be my nurse, which I was really happy and excited about. And they walked me to my room, and I was like, I felt like so excited, and I saw all these people I knew, and I was like waving at them. And we got into our room. It took a while to get to the room because it was so busy, and it was like they didn't have a room available. So it was at like 2 a.m. we got to the room, and then they hooked me up and started Pitocin. And I knew I was supposed to sleep because I've told people this so many times as a nurse, like, in your early induction, you should try to get some rest. But I was like so excited and just had a lot of adrenaline. My husband is an amazing sleeper, and he had no such problems. So he was just like passed out, and I was hanging out with my work friends, and they were all telling me to go to sleep, but also coming in and talking to me. And then in the morning, and when they had checked me when I had come in, they said I was like 4 to 5 centimeters dilated. So I was happy about that progress. In the morning, I could tell like things were not really picking up because I was not particularly uncomfortable. And in the morning, they came in and checked again and said, oh, you're still 4 to 5 centimeters. Let's up the Pitocin, and then we'll come back in a little bit and break your water. And the doctor who checked me at that point was a resident who I'm also good friends with. So she leaves to go do something else. And then a couple hours later, an OB who I also love, she comes in and is like, yeah, you're still 4 to 5 centimeters. Let's break your water. And I was like, all right. So she breaks my water, and I immediately get very uncomfortable. This is at like 12 p.m. on a Thursday. So the induction had started Wednesday at 3 p.m. and nothing had really like happened after the Foley balloon had fallen out. And then now it's 12 p.m. ish on Thursday. They break my water. I immediately get like very uncomfortable, and I'm like, this is labor, like this is great. So I was getting in the shower, which is something I had also been doing at home when I was uncomfortable with my Foley balloon. And my nurse, at this point we'd gone from night shift to day shift, so I have a new nurse. Had been a night shifter for many, not many, I'm not it's not like I'd been a nurse for a million years, but I had been a night shifter for several years at this point. So I had a new nurse who was a day shift nurse, who I also love her. She was awesome. And actually with somebody who had kind of, I remember I shadowed her when I was interviewing for the job a couple years back. So I was like, hey, it's me. I mean, we knew each other and worked together at this point, but I remember she was like really excited to be my nurse, and I was so touched by that. She was like, I can't believe you picked me. And I was like, I love you. And then she was like, do you want to get an epidural? Because I was starting to get uncomfortable and like kind of having to like really breathe through my contractions and stuff. And I was like, okay, let's do it. The anesthesiologist came in and tried to do my epidural and told me that I had scoliosis, which I had not been informed of that in my life. And he was having a really hard time with it. And I was sort of taken aback because I had been told by a different anesthesiologist, like earlier in my pregnancy, just kind of hanging out at the nurse's station. He was like, oh, you'll be a super easy epidural placement because you're tall, because I'm 5'9", and there tends to be a little bit more space to work with in taller people. So when this other anesthesiologist was having a hard time, I was like, what do you mean? Like, they told me it wouldn't be a problem. And he was like, yeah, like I'm gonna do it. I started getting super sweaty and like feeling like I was gonna pass out. And my nurse was getting kind of anxious, and she was asking my husband, like, what does her blood pressure reading say? And he is not medical at all and was like, I don't even know what numbers to look at. And she was like, okay, never mind, just like step aside, sir. And I started kind of freaking out, and I was like, if I can't have an epidural, like, it's not that I can't handle the pain in this moment, but I know that I'm a first-time mom and this is an induction that is not exactly moving at a breakneck speed. And like, I don't think I can do this unmedicated. Like, at this point, I'd already been awake for, gosh, like, 30 hours. So I'm like, if we cannot do this, like, I just don't know how I'm going to cope with this. Like, I think I'm going to have like a C-section under general anesthesia. And my nurse was like, oh my gosh, Claire, no, we don't need to do that. Just relax. It's going to be fine. He ended up getting it, and I was like absolutely dripping with sweat. It was so gross. I was so embarrassed. I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I'm so sweaty. And she was awesome. And she was like, don't worry about it. I have this like little quirk that I hate having bare feet. So I wear like calf length wool socks 24/7, like 365. And people always kind of make fun of me for this, and I've just accepted it as a weirdness about me. But I was like, I need you to change my socks for me, like, because I'm so sweaty. And she was like, just be barefoot if you're so sweaty. And I was like, no, put on my new socks. And I had them like in my bag. And she was like, are you sure? I feel really weird about this. Like, you're really hot. I was like, no, put them on. she's like, okay. So she puts them on. And then at point, I think I took a nap, and I was looking at my fetal heart rate tracing like every so often, but I'm kind of an anxious person. And a lot of my coworkers had been like, we really want you to just trust us and let go during labor. Like, we've got you. You don't have to be worried. Like, we will handle everything. So I remember kind of not feeling as anxious as I thought I was going to be. Like, every time I looked at the heart rate tracing, it looked good. And I felt really confident that everybody was like looking out for me and everything was fine. So that was good. I took a nap. Things kind of got a little blurry. I wasn't exactly sure like what time it was. I felt like things were moving in the right direction in the sense that the heart rate tracing looked good, and every time they checked me, I had progressed like another centimeter, but it was not like moving quickly. It'd be like, okay, now you're six. A couple hours later, now you're seven. Like, no centimeter unchecked. It was never like, oh, now you're nine. So 7 or 8 centimeters, they said that my cervix was kind of swollen, which at this point we were back on night shift, and my previous nurse was back on and back with me. And another nurse I'm friends with also was there. And they were like, maybe we should give you some IV Benadryl, which the evidence is mixed if that really helps, but sometimes it does to help with a swollen cervix. So I was like, let's do it, let's try it. So I got 50 milligrams of IV Benadryl. I am like not somebody who takes a lot of medication. This IV Benadryl hit me like a freight train. Like, I was hallucinating. I was talking about things that didn't make sense, not in a scary way, but I was so tired. I like nobody was worried about it, but I was very out of it. And my husband was like, "You're being really bizarre." but he's also a very chill person, and he was just kind of like, "It's all good." And I remember like my coworker was in there, and she was like rubbing my head and was like, "You're okay, everything's fine." And I was like out of it. And they were like, "You really need to sleep. Like, you're fighting sleep so hard, and you're so sleep deprived, and you have all this IV Benadryl coursing through your veins. Like, you need to just chill out and go to sleep, and like you'll feel better." So I think I took a little cat nap, and then when I woke up, I had like so much pressure. And I was like, hey, this is not good. Like, I feel really bad. And I went from having really like loved labor and enjoyed labor for the most part, besides the epidural shenanigans, but to suddenly being very anxious and like, I'm not okay. So I started thinking that they told me I should get an epidural bolus. And I was like, okay, sounds good. So the anesthesiologist, or the CRNA, who actually I used to be neighbors with, but he did not recognize me in my current state, which totally makes sense because I looked insane. He came in to give it to me, and I'm like, Mark, it's me. And he's like, okay. I'm like,
If you
your
say so.
neighbor, like, we work together and we're neighbors, and like, remember when I pet your dog that one day? And he's like, okay. So he gives me the epidural bolus, and it didn't really work. No, he did an awesome job, but it just didn't really take the pain away that much. But it made my legs feel very heavy and numb. And then I kind of started freaking out, and I thought I was having like a placental abruption or some sort of complication. And my coworkers were in the room. Oh, I told my husband, like, I need to get up, like, I need to walk around. And because he doesn't know anything about medicine or obstetrics, he was like, okay. So he goes outside and he's like, hey, can somebody help me, like, get Claire up? She wants to walk around. And they were like, no, 100% no. Like, she can't feel her legs. She has an epidural. She's been in labor for like a million years. Her water's broken. Like, she's not getting up and walking around. So they come in and have my OB check me, and they tell me I'm 9 centimeters. And I'm like, okay, it's like gonna, we're getting there. We're so close.
Yeah.
But it hurt so bad. And I was like on hands and knees. I told them to turn the Pitocin off because I was like convinced I was abrupting. I was like, turn it off. I'm dying. They were like, right. I remember my nurse, who is my very close friend. And she, I just love it because she was so like respectful of me in that moment, even though I was clearly out of my mind. She just like hits the IV and like turns it off. She's like, okay, it's off. And I'm like, okay.
Nice.
And so they call my OB and they're like, Claire is freaking out. Like, she's in a lot of pain. You gotta come in here. So she comes in and she checks and she's like, you're 10 centimeters. Like, we're gonna push. We're ready to go. I'm like, okay. I called my mom, who had really wanted to be in the room. My mom is also a nurse, but I knew she would like be anxious herself because she's not somebody who really loves OB. I think I remember having had this talk with her where I was like, I love you so much. I want you to be like the first person to meet the baby. But I just think like I'll do better if it's just me and Carrie and like my coworkers. And she was super like fine with that and very respectful. But I told her, like, I'll call you when it's time and you can come to the hospital and like be the first one to meet the baby. So I call her and I'm like, Mom, or I think I had Carrie call her. I forget which one of us called her, but we tell her it's time to start pushing. She clearly been up all night and she gets there in like 14 seconds. And the front desk keeps calling my nurse, like, does Claire want her mom to come back? And I'm like, no, I have to push the baby out first. And my mom, apparently, I love this. Like, she was sitting at the desk with one of my coworkers and she was crying and she, like, not in a sad way, but she was just so excited and emotional. And she was like, is everything okay? And they were like, yes, everyone's got her. Like, we're good. Everything's fine. So I start pushing and one of the residents, one of the male residents who I initially had said like I didn't want any male providers in the room, but then as things progressed, I really didn't care. He had like come in and out and he was pushing, like we call it, you know, the doctor's pushing with you, even though like they're not pushing, but they're just there with you while you're pushing. And everyone was really supportive and great. And my charge nurse, who I really look up to and is a mentor to me, she came in and she was like whispering in my ear. She was like, you got this, like you're so close. But I started to kind of hear whispers in the room that they were worried that I was going to have a shoulder dystocia because it seemed like the baby was big and like this thing we say, like the baby was turtling, like it seemed like he was going to come out and then he kind of go back in. And everyone was, I could tell, like really worried. I was super anxious, but I actually was not anxious once I was pushing and I was just kind of like, okay, like, you know, just tell me what to do and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And they kept saying, my OB who was in there was like, Claire, like you don't have to be a nurse right now, like you can just be a mom, like we've got you, just listen to me and you know I'll tell you when to push and everything, you know we got it. And I was like, all right. And then there were a bunch of people in the room and Carrie was like, why are there like 17 nurses in here? There weren't actually 17, but there were a lot. And he was like, is something wrong? And people were like, no, we just like we're here for Claire. So there are all these people there, and I just felt so like it's not, I think for a lot of people, it's not exactly the birth that they would imagine as this like ideal birth. Like it was long, there was a lot of medical intervention, but it was like so wonderful and special to me because I was surrounded by all these people that I work with and that I love. And it was just like the vibes were great. So I finally like push him out, and my co-worker had come in and was taking pictures. She was like, do you want me to take pictures? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, do you want, like, what if there's like vagina in the pictures? I was like, that's fine, I don't care. You know, like don't hold back, it's fine, like I'll delete anything I don't want later. So she's taking all these pictures and I love having these pictures because they're like just the joy, not just my joy, but Carrie's joy and like all my coworkers' joy. It is just like the best. But I had been kind of back and forth all pregnancy if I thought it was a boy or a girl. And I think because I consider myself such a girl's girl, like I have lesbian moms, I'm a labor and delivery nurse, I have a twin sister, like I have a billion female friends. There was part of me that kind of thought it was going to be a girl, but then once I was in labor, I had this like extreme clarity that it was a boy. And I didn't speak that out loud, but I just like knew that it was. So I push him out, and my husband is absolutely, he's a crier. And so he's sobbing. Like he's like sobbing. And I'm like, do you want to say it? Do you want to say it? And he's like, ah. And I'm like, should I just say it? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's a boy. And I like reached down for him. I pulled him up to my chest, and everybody was crying. Like my nurses were crying. I was crying. My husband's sobbing. And then somebody's like, now can we get your mom? And I'm like, yeah, get my mom. So my mom runs in the room. Like my placenta is not even out. My mom runs in the room and she's crying and she's like, oh my God. I'm like, it's a boy. And she's like, I know. I'm like, how do you know? And I don't think she realized that he had literally come out like 30 seconds before, because she's like, how much does he weigh? I'm like, I don't know. He just got here. So then, oh, the other thing was that I really, really wanted to deliver on night shift because of being a night shifter. And I knew we were kind of cutting it close. So I'm like, wait, what time was it? What time was it? And they're like 6:58. So like in the 7 to 7, and I'm like, I made it. I did it. And everyone's like, yeah, you did. And I was so excited. And because it was shift change, no residents were there. It was just my OB. And it was just like, it was really the best. Like it was just everything I hoped it would be, even though on some level I wanted like a spontaneous, unmedicated, intervention-free birth, and it was not that at all. Like it was like a 40-hour induction. It was just the best. And I was so excited, to meet him and to have him there, to be surrounded by so much love. And, it was just really, it was awesome. And then kind of shift change happened, and then my nurse, who had been with me the day before during the whole epidural debacle, comes in, and she's my day shift nurse again. And she's like, Claire, you did it. I'm like, I did. And she's like, helping me and everything. You have that first hour that we try to have, baby on your chest and not to take them away. And it was like a time warp. Like it had felt like it was 4 minutes, and then it was suddenly like, okay, like it's been an hour. We're gonna weigh him and do stuff. And I'm like, okay. And then you have another hour where they're kind of getting you ready to go and move over to the postpartum unit. And I was still in a time warp. Like I felt like it'd been like a couple minutes, and it had been, multiple hours. And then I couldn't get up. Like I was really dizzy, which sometimes happens. And of course, this is like with the nurse who I had had this epidural breakdown with. So she's like, I'm like, here I am again. Like having a problem. And she's like so nice about it. She's like, it's okay. Like we're just gonna toss you in the wheelchair and go. And I'm like, okay. My mom's like, are you sure this is normal? Like she seems really woozy. And I'm like, don't worry about it, mom. This happens. It's normal. And she's like, okay, but you look like a sheet of paper. I'm like, it's all good. And I was so exhausted. Like I was so happy, but I was so exhausted. And I like started breastfeeding, and that went okay. And then they were like, okay, take a nap. And my mom went out to get us food, and my husband and I and our baby slept, and woke up a couple hours later. And it was like, I loved, a lot of people want to leave the hospital and they're like, I'm ready to go home. But I was like excited to go home, but also I loved being in the hospital for those couple days after my delivery, because I felt like we were just like suspended in time. And it was like this perfect experience where my husband was like totally present with us. He didn't have any other responsibilities because he was studying for the bar exam at the time. And I knew when we got home, he was going to have to start like getting back to it. And the hospital is like my second home. So I was very comfortable there. And in the night, I would ask my nurse if I could go over from postpartum back to labor and delivery. And I would walk over there, and they said like, yes, but you can't bring your baby because you're like not steady on your feet. And I'd be like, okay. And I would go over and I would sit in the report room, like the nurse's station essentially, and talk with people. And then I'd go back and breastfeed, and I'd come back. And it was just like the best couple of days. And then when they finally, it was like a little bit of a delayed discharge, I think just because of COVID and stuff, things were a little bit, moving differently. So they'd ask me if I would stay a second night, and I was like, for sure. No problem. And that took them like all day. So I think I told the story wrong that it started on a Wednesday. I think it started on a Thursday, and I delivered very early Saturday morning. So sorry about that,
That's
anybody
okay.
listening.
No, that's
Started
fine.
on a Thursday afternoon, delivered very early on Saturday morning at 6:58. And then they said we could go home on Monday, and it took like all day to get the discharge together, and I was just hanging out, like totally fine. And then they wheeled me down in a wheelchair, and I used to be an ER nurse before I was a labor and delivery nurse, and because of COVID, people were doing all sorts of weird roles in the hospital. So I saw like one of my former coworkers manning a door, like a COVID screening station, as I was being wheeled out. And I was like, hey. And she was like, oh my God, you had a baby. I was like, yeah. And it was so weird, like sitting there in the wheelchair waiting for my husband to go pull the car around. And it was the end of June 2020, so it was really hot outside, and it just felt like almost being like birthed myself into this really bright, sunny summer world that I'd been totally, I'd entered the hospital on a Thursday evening, and now it's like multiple days later on a Monday, and I've had a baby and this whole experience. And I have a twin sister who's not a particularly emotional person, but is like a sweetums like lover. But she was at my house when we came home, and she had made this sign that said like, "Welcome, Ben," and had balloons up and everything. And she was kind of tearful when she saw us and met him. And it was just like my mom was there, and it was just the best. Like, I was just so happy. I just couldn't have been happier. And I think because I'm an anxious person, I was really worried I was going to get like postpartum depression or have really bad anxiety. But I was just like totally fine, and everything was great. I mean, not like to sugarcoat everything. There were some breastfeeding challenges, and I was really anxious about COVID and things like that. But in general, it was like, it was hard for my husband because he had to immediately start studying for the bar really intensely. But I was just kind of in this newborn bubble, and I just had this like amazing birth. And I think I've told, because I love birth, obviously, if that's not apparent. But I had told some people the birth story. People were like, oh my gosh, that sounds like a lot. Like, that sounds long, that sounds hard. And I was like, yeah, but it was great. Like, it was so cool. Like, I even in that moment, I was like, I can't wait to do it again. And my husband was like, you are crazy. But I just like was so happy, and I felt this instant connection with my baby. And I know this is supposed to just be about one birth story, but my future births were not nearly so medically straightforward. So I look back at this experience with him as just the most like beautiful and like gentle entrance to motherhood, because the next couple of years, like, kind of with certain pregnancy complications and things that went on, kind of were a slap in the face in juxtaposition to this experience. And I'm just like, I'm so glad that was my first, like, that was my first baby. And it was everything, that I wanted it to be. And, it's crazy that he's almost three, and he's like a real talking member of society with a lot of opinions. And now having another child, having a 10-month-old, it's just so funny to think like that my older son started out, so small as well. And I think about the like richness of my relationship with him now that he's a toddler and almost three, and like how much I both miss him as a baby and like miss that perfect birth experience, because it was like in many ways like a peak experience for me. But then also like how much it's developed, and like the depth of like my love for him and our relationship. And it's just like hard to believe all these things have happened in this short time. But yeah, that was my first birth, and I loved it, and it was great.
I have to be honest that I would have to agree that most stories I hear that involve that many medical, I mean, they are interventions, but just like medical, that much medical participation. Most people are not as Positive.
And I think a huge part was that it was like my work family, because I just felt so, my husband jokingly called it a party birth. I loved having all these people around, and I'm a very, very social person, and I loved that. And even though it was hard in some way, I mean, it was long, and there were times where I was like, oh, this is really tough. But it also, even while it was happening, kind of felt like a time warp. And I just felt like I think I went into the birth with like really my only desire was to have a vaginal delivery. Like for some, my grandma was also a labor and delivery nurse, and she has told me a lot of birth stories. And I'd always kind of had a fascination with birth from a young age. And I think, you know, all birth is birth and very valid. And I ended up actually having to have a C-section with my second son. So I think, you know, I've experienced both ways, but I have always had a very strong desire to just experience having a vaginal delivery. And I think just having that work out for me, despite it not being like a super quick or straightforward path to get there, I was just thrilled. I was like, that's what I wanted. And I had it. And I had so much support. And the moment, even though the labor was long and had its moments, like the moment of delivery was so like beautiful and perfect to me that it was just great. So yes, I know, like, because I've told this story to people and they're like, wow, that sounds like a lot. And I'm like, it was, but it also, like, I don't know if I would have the same perspective on it if I wasn't a labor and delivery nurse and if I hadn't delivered where I worked, but the way it all played out for me, I just like was really, really happy. Oh, and I had to get the COVID test. I think hopefully that was, you know, assumed and implied, but I did what they told me to do, got the COVID test. It was negative, and they were like, all right, let's go. I'd worked my last day, Sunday night shift going into Monday, and then had a couple days to, like, you know, rest and reset and get ready, and then started the whole shebang.
So you were working nights at the time.
Yeah.
Do you think that that prepared you at all for those early, like newborn days where you get so little sleep and you're on, even when you get sleep, it's often not at night, you know? And I think that's can be a really hard time for a lot of new moms to suddenly be sleeping during the day, and it's very confusing. I wonder if you think that working nights helped you with that at all.
I think that it did. I think nights has always kind of come more easily to me than to, you know, I know it kind of doesn't work for some people's bodies, but it had never, not like, obviously there were times I was like tired, but I enjoyed working nights, and I did not find the early newborn days. It was kind, I keep saying the phrase time warp. It was still kind of a time warp. Like I'd be like, oh, like a week has gone by. But I was not, I did not have a super hard time with the sleep deprivation. And I think part of it is that I very much can sleep during the day. Like if he was taking a big nap during the day, I was like, I'm gonna go to sleep. And I could go to sleep and be fine. There was sort of this weird thing that we settled into, this like routine, because there was, with breastfeeding, there was this like element of needing to pump sometimes. And I would always have this thing where I had to pump before I went to bed. And in those early days where babies are going to sleep weirdly late, like I remember my husband would be like, what are we doing? It's 11 p.m. Like, why is our baby just like sitting with us in the living room? Like, why are we keeping this baby up so late? And I was like, this is normal. This is their circadian rhythm. It's fine. But I would always be like, sometimes I'd fall asleep on the couch and I'd set an alarm for midnight to like pump before I went to bed. And my husband was like, this is crazy. And I was just like, it's all good. He's like, is this the way that other people are doing it? I'm like, I don't know. I did have this one like episode where I had fallen asleep nursing at like 3 in the morning, and I had been scrolling on Instagram, and you know how you can send people a post, like you can DM them a post. I actually DM'd people like this random post, like a baking brownies post to like literally like 30 people in the middle of the night. And one of them was my coworker who was having a baby like shortly after me. And I was like DMing her this while she herself was being induced. And I was like, I'm so sorry. That was an accident. I was getting induced, and she was like, I was sleeping, and like, she was like, are you okay? And I actually you know how you can FaceTime call somebody via Instagram? I FaceTimed. It happened. It was the perfect person to be this person, but it was my nurse, my like close friend who was my nurse, and she answered the phone, and her answering the call like woke me up, and I was like, "Hey, how are you?" And she was like, "I'm fine. How are you?" I'm like, "I'm good." I was like, "What's up?" And she was like, "You called me." And I was like, "Oh wow, crazy. I didn't know that." And I was like, I had fallen asleep, like feeding my baby. And she's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm great. I'm fine." But it was so funny. I was like, "What am I doing?" Like, but I do think, even though it was like, you know, like obviously I was still sleep deprived and things were crazy and you're like up all night feeding a baby. But I think for the most part, I just kind of was like, yeah, like, you know, night shift has prepared me. I'm ready to go. So it really was fine for me for the most part. I always say, like, I love being pregnant. I love giving birth. I love having a newborn. I just kind of wish I could have that experience continuously on a loop every like 2 to 3 years for the rest of my life. And
I
most people are
agree.
like, what?
I loved all those parts as well myself.
Yeah.
And then I find that I'm very unusual in that with people I know too. They're like, no, I like when they can start talking and walking and doing stuff. And I'm
Right.
like, it's all great. Like, it's all
Right.
great.
It's so wonderful and
But
magical when they can start doing those things. But like, I even, you know, I have a 10-month-old now and he's still like super itty bitty because he was born early. And I like still look back and I'm like, oh, remember when he was so little? And people are like, he's still like really little. And I'm like, but remember when he would just like sleep on me and I would just like lay there all day with him? And my husband's like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like ready for round three, and he's like, "You are out of your mind, girlfriend." Yeah, even while it's happening, I'm like nostalgic for it. There's something so special about your first baby because you've never done it before, and it's such a like. I really, when Tamar told me like that I would pick one of my births, I was like, "Oh, that's so tough for me," because like they were so both so eventful and so much happened. But I was like, I just have to go with my first because it was like walking through a portal into this like whole new world. And I just, you know, I look back on it and I'm sure there's some rose-colored glasses going on, but it was just like awesome. It was just this thing I'd waited for my whole life, which again, my husband would be like, "You were 26 years old. You had not been like waiting that long. Like you were just fine." But I had just been so excited, even, you know, from like I would read birth stories like when blogs were a big thing. Like when I was in high school and college, I'd be reading women's birth stories and crying, and people were like, "What's happening? Like, why is this
Happening for you?
the content you're choosing to consume as a 21-year-old like living in New York City?" But I just loved it, and I was so like ready for it and stoked about it, and it was awesome.